1 Peter 1, verses 13-21. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let me add my warm welcome to Mark's. My name is Jackson. I'm the ministry trainee at Redeemer. Thank you to Don and Beth for reading for us, and it'll be a great help if you kept your Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 1. But before we begin, let me pray and ask for God's help as we listen to him speak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. We ask that your word would guide us this morning. Please, would your Holy Spirit write your words on our hearts that we may live the resurrection life for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're at the conclusion of our short series, Resurrection Life, where we've been thinking about the resurrection of Jesus and the new life it gives us. And today, in our final installment, our topic is Christian living. We're looking at how the resurrection affects the way we should live. Now, it's possible to think that the resurrection doesn't have much influence at all on how we're to live. For one thing, it was thousands of years ago in a place far away. What difference does it make to how I live today? Peter gives his readers three instructions. And these three instructions come out of the new reality we have through the resurrection. He's saying, because of the resurrection and what it means, you should live this way. The instructions, well, they're rather straightforward, but they cover huge topics. They cover our focus. What are you living for? What are you setting your mind on? Our identity. Who are you? Who do you belong to? And our value. What are you worth? Rather than having little impact, we see the resurrection influences three of the most important factors in determining how we live. Our focus, our identity, and our value, they shape the way we make our decisions. They shape the way we spend our time, the way we think, how we behave. These instructions come as a result of the resurrection, and they're hugely important in determining how we live. Peter says through the resurrection you have a new and distinct focus. You have a new and distinct identity, and you are of precious value. Now live that way. If I were to boil down what Peter is saying, it would be God has made you distinct. So live distinctively. God has made you distinct, so live distinctively. Now it's important that we get this round the right way. The order is, firstly, we have been made distinct. And so secondly, that means we should live distinctly. It's because we've been made distinctive through the resurrection, that means we should live distinctively, not the other way around. Does that make sense? You can dress like a member of the royal family, You can insist everyone call you prince or princess. You can even try and live at Buckingham Palace. But nothing you do makes you a member of the royal family. That still won't be true. Sorry. And it's the same here. It's what God has done through the resurrection of Jesus that means you can and you should live differently, not the other way around. Through the resurrection, you've been made distinct. So live distinctively. Cool. So let's look at each of these instructions in turn. The first instruction is in verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Whenever you see a therefore, you've got to ask yourself, what's it there for? I can almost hear the groans coming from the screen from my growth group who had to hear me say that earlier in the week. But it's a really important linking word. It links what Peter has said in the first half of the chapter to what he's saying now. So look back at verse 3, we see that we have a living hope. Or verse 4, we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. In verse 9, Peter speaks of the salvation that we are receiving. Because of all those things, Peter says, verse 13, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you. It's an instruction regarding our focus, what we are living for, what really matters to us. And if you see where to do that with minds that are alert and fully sober, he's speaking of an active, a disciplined focus, clear of distraction, focused on the end goal. Think of the athlete getting up each day at the crack of dawn just to train. Focused. Everything they do is shaped by the goal they're pursuing. We're to be just like that athlete. Except for us, we've got a prize that's certain. Our prize is ready. It's prepared. It's waiting for us. There's no question of whether or not it's there for us. Peter says we have a new and distinct future with God. And so we're to live distinctively, focused on that future. So let me ask you, what are you living for? Is it career, status, comfort? Well, the Christian is to live for their future with God. The Christian life is a disciplined, active pursuit of that future. Peter calls us exiles in verse 1 and foreigners in verse 17, because this isn't our home. Verse 6, he says, we're only here for a little while. We're on our way to our true home. And so that means we're going to make our different decisions because of it. We're probably going to give up long hours in at work seeking promotions. We're not going to be worried about having the best house on the street. And we won't mind if we miss out on certain holidays or experiences in this life. Those things just won't matter when we compare them to our perfect future with God. Peter's first instruction for the resurrection life, set your mind on your future grace. Okay, let's look at the second instruction, verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. The second instruction is be holy in all you do. And it comes out of our new identity. We are God's children. He's welcomed us with open arms into his family. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? And because we're in God's family, we're to be like him. We all have things that distinguish our family from other families. And that identity shapes the way we think and act and behave. I'm sure we've all heard our parents at some stage say, That's not how we do it in our family. Or think again of the royal family. They have a certain standard that they are to live up to, all because of who they are, their identity. Likewise, Peter is saying, you have been given a distinct identity as a member of God's family. And that's actually what being holy means. It means being set apart, being distinct and different. So be set apart. Be different from the world. Be holy. Why? Because God is holy and you are now a member of his family. Now, the idea of being holy like God is holy sounds daunting. I mean, where do you even begin? But as we get to know God through what he has revealed to us in the Bible, and as we get to know his son and what he is like, then we too can be like him. We too can be different, distinct, and holy like God is holy. I take the cross for two quick examples. At the cross, we see how God loves. As Jesus dies for us, we see that love is sacrificial, it's costly, it serves others. And that's how we should love one another. And at the cross, we see how seriously God views sin and wrongdoing. And so, we too should take wrongdoing and sin seriously in our own lives. As we get to know God, we become like him, holy, distinct from the world. And we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit transforming our hearts to want to love in the way God loves, to want to view sin and wrongdoing seriously the way God does. As we get to know God, we can be like him. Now, don't get me wrong, it won't be easy. It will always be easier to conform with the world. But remember, our future is with God. It's not with this world. Our future is with our new family, a family that's different, distinct, and holy. And so we, too, are to be different, distinct, holy. And now the final instruction, verse 17. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear, Peter says. Now, I went to the dictionary to look up the definition of fear, and most definitions are about being afraid or scared of something, the way you might feel about spiders or heights. But that's not the fear that Peter is talking about. We can see he is talking about reverent fear, which is to say, it's being in awe, A-W-E, awe, or it's having great respect for something. And so the reason we're to live in reverence and awe is because of our great value. Look at verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. We have been ransomed, bought, paid for, with something more precious and more valuable than anything in this world. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. When I was growing up, I remember we had these really special plates at home. And they hardly ever came out, only on really special occasions. In fact, I have very few memories of them at all. But anyways, when they did come out, you carried them with such great care. Because if anything happened to those plates, well, don't bother coming home. Did you have plates like that? Or maybe you still do. Or imagine with me for a moment the story of a young man from a poor rural town in India. His family and his whole village saved up all their money in order to pay the fees for him to go to university in the city. What a waste it would be for the boy to just skip class or to go out partying rather than study. No, we'd expect him to take great care with his studies, to be a diligent and hard-working student, to honour and be devoted to the gift he received. The gift is just too valuable, too big a sacrifice to just throw away. And how much more valuable the gift that redeemed us. Jesus gave his precious life so that we could have life with God. So let me ask you, what are you worth? Well, Peter says, you are more valuable than anything in this world. The price God paid for us makes us precious beyond understanding. And so we should live out our time with reverence. Because of the price it costs to redeem us, we should respond like that poor student whose fees were paid, respond in loving devotion to our gift. Because of the price it costs to redeem us, we set our hope fully on our future to come. Knowing the price, there's no way we could take it for granted. And because of the price it costs to redeem us, we live holy, distinct lives as obedient children. We say no to our former desires, and instead we live God's way. The resurrection makes all the difference in life. By the resurrection, God has made us distinct, and that calls for us to live distinctively in response. So as we wrap up, how does the resurrection affect how we should live? It's really important we know the answer to this, because the world is always trying to make us conform to its ways, trying to have us value what it values, have us focus on what it focuses on, care about what it cares about. The danger is that as we drift away from our Christian living, then we drift away from Christian belief. We give up our new future, our new family, our new preciousness. So remember the message through each of these instructions. God has made you distinct through the resurrection, and so live distinctively. Set your focus on the future awaiting you. Be holy in all you do, because God has welcomed you into his family, and live with reverence for God because of how incredibly valuable you are. What a wonderful, joy-filled life we have because of the resurrection. Let's close now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the distinctive life you have lavished upon us. Please help us to resist the temptation to conform with this world, but help us instead to live for you, longing for that future grace, living holy, set apart, different, distinct lives with reverence for you and the price you paid to redeem us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.